This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
If you go to or have heard about holistic veterinarians, you have Dr. Marty Goldstein to thank. Since the 1970s, Dr. Marty, as he's called, has been a trailblazer in this space, combining conventional and complementary medicine to help thousands and thousands of pets around the country and the world. He co-founded the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, and he was actually my vet when I lived in New York for my German Shepherd India. So I know firsthand the kind of ahead of his time work that Dr. Marty was doing back in the 90s when I met him. Today, he's retired as a vet, but he's leaving a legacy of holistic vets that came after him. Two books, The Nature of Animal Healing and The Spirit of Animal Healing, a globally recognized documentary called The Dog Doc, as well as the founding of a very successful freeze-dried food bank, a very successful freeze-dried food brand called Dr. Marty's Pets for Dogs and Cats. I'm very excited to have Dr. Marty on the show today, and this is a great opportunity to learn about natural ways of healing and hear firsthand from the man who was one of the first to start it all. I'm Jody L. Teich, and you're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio. We're going to take a short break from our sponsor, so grab that healthy beverage, get comfortable, and we'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio. I'm Jody Teich, your host. For over 45 years, Dr. Marty Goldstein has been a maverick in veterinary medicine, and he's considered America's foremost integrative veterinarian. He pioneered combining conventional medicine with nutrition, immune support, complementary treatments, which have literally created miracles for thousands and thousands of pet parents around the world. It wasn't always easy for Dr. Marty, being a trailblazer, as it usually isn't for most trailblazers, but the world finally caught up, and I'm thrilled to have him on the show today. Welcome, Dr. Marty.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. I know. I feel like blessed and grateful to have been able to see firsthand what you do as it relates to my own dog and just being in the Smithridge Veterinary Center space for those years, which is where it all happens. So I'm really excited that you're here. I want to start with probably where you've started for hundreds of interviews before this one, but my audience may not know. So what inspired you to become a vet really began in your 20s with your own health issues. Can you share that story with my listeners?
Yeah, well, I always knew I wanted to be a vet because my brother, who was older than me, became a vet. And after that, and I was in high school, it was a no-brainer. So I went to Cornell. I was at Cornell a total of 9 years. Got into the veterinary college. Holistic medicine didn't exist. And, you know, during the first year, I was actually number two in my class. So I really know medicine well. And I was losing my own health. It was genetically based. All the males on my mother's side of the family had these chronic conditions that I also had. They not only got so degeneratively ill, but every single one of them is long dead.
Oh, wow.
Out of vanity and fear, I started to search for answers in healthcare that conventional medicine didn't offer.
Right.
And, you know, by some quirk accident, I stumbled upon macrobiotic diet and the Eastern philosophy, changed my diet. I was always fat. You know, my nickname in high school was Porky. In public school, when I looked down, I couldn't see my feet because my stomach was so big.
I could never believe that. I can't even believe that. I've never known you to be that way ever. So
it was huge. And I was always dieting and trying this. And then on a macrobiotic diet, I lost like 20 pounds in under 2 weeks. And my arthritis and chronic bursitis symptoms went away. And it was like, whoa. Then it became a no-brainer to look at what we were feeding our own companion animals and started to cook for our own pets, and their chronic illnesses subsided. And it was like, whoa, what's going on here? And then looked at the label of what we were taught to feed our own animals and our clients' companion animals. And in those days, it was the semi-moist foods top choice in Gainsburgers. And if you actually look at the label, there were like 4 or 5 carcinogenic substances, dyes, coloring agents, flavor enhancers. The only thing it was really missing was food. And we had closets full of it, blah, blah, blah. And it was just a wake-up call. And as I started to apply proper nutrition and then the advent of supplements and my patients were getting better, I went out and started to share this in excitement and got condemned.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna approach that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to talk about Martha. So you became Martha Stewart's vet. How did that happen?
In 2007, I scored Martha Stewart and Oprah Winfrey. So, you know, at that point, all of a sudden, things started to shift, especially in reference to my colleagues that were criticizing and ridiculed me because they didn't seek me out for my looks or my personality. It was because the work works. It was making animals healthy, and they just caught on because, you know, my associates and me were making animals all over the United States. They were coming in droves to us better, and word got out. And Martha actually came to see my associate with her old dog, Zuzu, who had, it was a chow with severe skin problems. And then when I looked at the history, I noticed that these dogs' problems started to get severely worse about 3 weeks after Zuzu received all her vaccines. And it was like, so as my associate made Zuzu better, coming off the drugs, going on alternatives, I called Martha and she invited me over for lunch. And the rest is history. You know, she loved what I represented. I showed her before and after cases. It blew her away. And she offered me a radio show, which I loved. She had her own network on Sirius.
Yes, SiriusXM Radio. Ask Martha's Vet with Dr. Marty, right?
And it was great. I mean, it was every Monday night for 6 years. People were calling in from all over the United States. And it was one of the highlights of my career.
Amazing. Well, I saw an appearance on YouTube of you on Martha's show from 2009. And you were talking about nutritional medicine, food, the nutritional medicine to cure everything from diarrhea to ear infections to itchy skin. And I remember the diarrhea diet that you gave me back in the day, that sweetened white potato and the leek and the, right? Have those diets stood the test of time? And is that something you can share a couple with my listeners that, you know, can help them?
Oh, yeah. The diarrhea diet is something I learned. It was an old folk remedy, medicine remedy that I learned way back when I was studying in the 80s. And it was nothing more than 50% white potatoes, sweet potatoes, a slice of turnip and a slice of leek. I don't know what those two do. I've seen many people not use them, and it still works. And then some boiled meat to flavor it. And we used it literally thousands of times, to a point that so many of our clients, when their companion animal got loose stools, they just went on it. They didn't even call us anymore.
So yeah, really, which is beautiful. And we leave the leak out for cats, right?
Well, if you think about one slice of leek that's boiled in a pot of stuff this big, it's not going to cause problems. But supposedly, cats have toxic problems with any member of the garlic family. And onions are a member of the garlic family. So to be safe, leave it out.
Yeah, sounds good. That makes sense. So what was it like working so closely with Martha for so many years?
Martha's a trip. You know, she loved my three daughters that were young at that time. We went over to her house all the time. I mean, I respect her like you can't imagine. She's really, you know,
she's
got
a fighter.
Her act together, very intelligent, and embraced this kind of work that I did for so long. So it was a great relationship. You know, I still hear, we're still in touch here and there, and it's great. She's a great lady.
Awesome. Yeah, she is a fighter, boy. She's a survivor and a fighter. So let's now go back to you being so ahead of your time where your colleagues didn't understand what you were doing. They were threatened by it because they didn't understand it. And it was a lot easier to talk about you as if you were a quack vet than give any kudos to the successes that you were having. So, I mean, I read in one of the reviews on your documentary that in 1986, you held a lecture on cancer where you showed the records and cases of your success stories. And even so, one of your best friends left to go stand outside the door of the auditorium to warn people not to go inside because, quote, this guy is crazy. So
yeah, it was my brother and me, and it was one of my dear, dear friends and his wife that stood at the door and said, the Goldsteins lost their mind.
Yeah. Now, you have always been quirky. You're a quirky guy, but the proof was in the pudding, all the success you were having. How did you deal with all of the haters, all the vitriol for decades?
I learned over the years why that happened. Not only did we have the cases, but we actually had the people and the animals there. And what I didn't realize is these animals failed conventional medical therapy by the veterinarians that were there. And my brother and I, unfortunately, were shoving these animals in their faces better, and they were feeling threatened and malpractice because they were recommending euthanasia because they were hopeless, you know, terminal cancer patients. So, you know, in the level of high responsibility where you got to be responsible for both sides, I saw what I was doing to really, quote unquote, piss them off. So I learned from that, and it really helped me later on, because when I started to lecture at universities, I started to feel, I would always feel excited because I know this stuff and I gotta get it out there, but I also got to see what they were thinking about me. So I learned how to talk to veterinarians knowing what they were thinking instead of only knowing what I want to say. And it really helped me, especially since I'm not a chiropractor talking to doctors. I am a veterinarian who was number two in my class at Cornell University. So I was able to bridge the gap. And I always stayed integrative instead of, you know, it's funny, but I got invited up to Angel Memorial to speak, because two of their cases I turned around that were hopeless. Angel Memorial is a huge hospital in Boston. And I didn't know how huge it was, but I went up there to speak. They have when I went there, they have 101 veterinarians on staff.
Wow.
And I was really nervous because I was warned that they were going to be a hostile crowd because a lot of their patients were dying because they went to see, you know, holistic vets in the area. So there were 80 veterinarians at 8 o'clock in the morning, not in good moods, in a closed room auditorium. And I actually felt daggers that were coming at me. And I started the lecture. I was literally in shock because I knew I was going to get killed because way back then I didn't have any substantiation. This is 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And what I froze and I looked at them beaming at me and I just said, before I start, I just want you to know that I know what you're thinking about me because I used to sit there. Matter of fact, when I sat there, I was number two in my class. So I know what it's like to have your feelings come over here. And what I'm going to show you today is true holistic medicine. But what you're used to is what I call assholistic medicine. And one by one, they started to applaud. And a few of them stood up and gave me a standing ovation because I identified what they were thinking.
And disarmed them.
Yeah. And I presented 183 slides in 50 minutes and it blew their minds. And the head of the entire hospital came up to me as we were going into rounds and said, so in other words, we're doing it all wrong, aren't we? And I said, you are, but I can't leave you with that thought because you don't know how to handle it. It's time for you to wake up and start to study alternatives. And what's really good, because you started this conversation with, I was so far ahead of my time. My number one, the initial criticism is when I became certified in acupuncture in the mid-70s.
I know.
And that was like Goldstein sticking needles in animals. He lost his mind. What happened to him? He was a good veterinarian. And for a decade or so, maybe more, every time I would go to a continuing education meeting, I would get criticized as a quack and this and that. Now when I go, most of them have become certified in acupuncture because it's so accepted. And they come up to me and say, you know, you were so far ahead of your time. And I would just go, wait a minute, acupuncture has been around over 3,000 years. I'm not ahead of my time. I'm just 35 years less behind than you. Time to wake up. And that's it. You know, herbal medicine. How long has it been here?
Oh,
30
centuries
years?
And centuries, well, yeah, centuries and centuries.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, when I lecture, especially to veterinarians now, I let them know that I have two associates because I present case after case after case of animals that were terminally ill. I show the medical records, and then I show stopping the drugs because they weren't working, starting on these alternatives. Then I show them alive 5, 6, 8 years later. And then I say, you know why? Because I have two associates that I consult with every single day. And those are Common Sense and Mother Nature. And you know what? You have those too. So just step back. See what nature is doing in the body to create that symptom, like a fever or a discharge. And just use common sense. Is there a purpose for disease? Why is this going on? And let me tell you, when I started to respect those two associates and allow a lot of the disease processes to work their way through and supporting them instead of chemically suppressing every symptom with drugs, I became successful and so can they.
Yes. And I think this is very important for pet parents listening to take in because there are still so many conventional veterinarians out there who are trained to just slap a drug on a set of symptoms. That's what they're taught in med school and hope for the best. And pet parents need to know that there's more out there. Now, a lot of pet parents know there's more out there, but I think the important takeaway here is, first of all, follow your intuition. If you already know that suppressive drugs are not good for your animal, then look further if this is what your veterinarian is telling you, right? Look further, do some research, and get another opinion from an integrative veterinarian, a homeopathic veterinarian, because there's so much to offer out there today, and pet parents are fortunate to have that at their fingertips in most places that they live. So don't necessarily take everything that your veterinarian tells you for gospel. Use your own intuition, your own common sense, and look further to find the best solutions for your animals.
And in the two books I wrote, probably the most important chapter I wrote was in my first book, the nature of animal healing,
yeah,
which we found out 3 weeks ago, is ranked as the number one best-selling book in veterinary medicine in the world.
Wow.
And I wrote a chapter in here called The Healing Crisis, and it's, but I read it once here, even though I wrote it 23 years ago. It's so important to know, because you could have terminal disease look like the healing crisis, and if you don't use medication, your pet will die or have their veterinarians. And this tells you how to differ and the signs to look for. So I would highly recommend.
Oh, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
I'm getting one of those. Absolutely. So now, in retrospect, with all that you've been through, what is the most gratifying thing about the fact that many pet parents and many veterinarians have finally caught up?
Well, to me, and it's always been, everyone that's listening should watch the documentary.
We're going to get to that. Totally.
Because it really shows, it shows the struggle, and you'll see it in the documentary. And even during that, because, you know, I wrote in my second book, and I wrote a national article called Hope Precedes Healing. So many of the people that came to us knew their animal was going to die. They don't know what they were doing there. And in order to start, we had to break the veil that was bestowed upon them that your pet is hopeless. And during all of the struggle, I was always a happy person. I really was. Now that things are going so well, I'm a very happy person. And behind it all, for me, has nothing to do with me. It's the millions of animals out there. You know, when I graduated Cornell, approximately 1 in 10 dogs got cancer, and it was always a disease of the old. So if we saw a young dog that had a lump, we eliminated the possibility of cancer based solely on age. Now, statistically, 1 out of every 1.61 dogs in the United States will get cancer.
I know.
And it's a prominent disease of the young. So our companion animals that represent to us the dynamic of unconditional love need our help, need an education for us to go through in healthcare. So that's what it's about for me. And through my food line, the amount of animals that have been turned around while I'm mowing my lawn or helping develop more products,
yes,
and the testimonials that I'm getting in, that's the biggest zip up
gift. Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get it. This stuff works. It's getting out there on a big level.
And you are able to get out there so much more between the documentary, which I totally want to talk about, and the books, obviously, but now with your food line, which we will also talk about.
Yeah.
If you had 3 key takeaways for pet parents of what to do for their pets to create more vitality and longevity, what would they be?
Well, one is become educated, especially, you know, I highly recommend reading the 2 books that I wrote, because everything I've ever done in 50 years is in those books. And it's a wake-up call. Number 2 is, and you'll see in the documentary, I became famous for my pin collection. I have maybe 400 amazing animal pins, and that scene is featured in the documentary. My pin collection, before I got into pins, when I was at Cornell, was a button collection. And I always wore a psychedelic wild balloons, flowered button. But there was one button I always wore every day. It's about that big, and I still have it. And it was question authority. And I'm not saying go against your veterinarian, but if you learn something about proper nutrition, which we call biologically appropriate diet, not scientifically appropriate diet, but biologically appropriate, or if your 8, 9, or 10-year-old or 14-year-old companion animal is due for their vaccines, especially if they have an illness, research all the documentation on the unnecessariness of that, the improper dosage, and the recommended protocols, which are based on false science. And if your veterinarian questions you on that, then you need to question them.
Yes, and maybe find a new veterinarian. Okay, that's great advice. And it actually also answers my next question, which were the three things that you would definitely not do to create vitality and longevity in your pet. Is there anything you'd want to add for that?
Well, I mean, it's down to the basics. You know, the mantra is, it all starts with food. Are you feeding your companion animal biologically appropriate food? Show me one tooth in a dog or a cat's mouth that's flat for grinding cereal and grain. But most of the commercial, big, successful dry foods on the market have been 50 to 64 processed cereal byproducts. That ain't proper food for a dog who is an omnivore / carnivore, and especially a cat who is an obligate carnivore.
Yeah. And if you look back historically, the wolves and the big cats, you know, they ate whole animals. You know, they didn't like go for a bowl of cereal down the block. You know, they knew, and their digestive systems haven't changed that much. We've domesticated them, but that means other things. They live with us. They sleep in our bed. You know, we dress them up, some of us, you know, but their digestive tracts and their whole digestive system haven't changed that much. So, yeah.
Now, the first time Martha had me on her show, and, you know, her show was sponsored by one of the big pet food companies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They allowed me to put up the formula for probably the second largest selling dog food in the United States without the name of the company. And it was the ingredient list. And the first ingredient was corn. And the producers allowed me to turn to Martha and say, Martha, have you ever seen a dog stalk near corn? Their show, because I know the producer very well, she was my producer for my radio show, got more calls from that one comment than they did in the last 3 months.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, you were great on her show. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break now from our sponsor, but don't go away, because when we return, you're going to learn about the food Dr. Marty created for dogs and cats and why it's so special. You're going to hear about his celebrated documentary, The Dog Doc. And maybe you'll hear a little bit more about his two books, too. We'll see.
Yeah.
So refresh that healthy beverage. Get cozy, and we'll be right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back. If you've just joined, we're talking with the trailblazing integrative veterinarian, Dr. Marty Goldstein, about the power of nutrition and complementary methods to cure. Dr. Marty, you created a pet food based on your experience of what good nutrition looks like. So tell us about Dr. Marty's pets and what makes it so special.
I started by cooking for my pets way back late 70s, early 80s, and the results were phenomenal. Then I started to actually, as I studied, I bridged into feeding raw food. And at our clinic, and for our own pets and all our clients, companion animals, we were selling high grade raw meat frozen diet. But my goal was not just to stay cooped up in my clinic working on maybe six animals patients a day, eight if I was lucky, and reach the masses. And if you want to start sending frozen raw food out to every state in the United States, you need refrigeration shipping, refrigeration at the receiving point. You know what the weight of that food is?
Oh, yeah.
It was so cost prohibitive. So, and I stumbled upon a relationship with this amazing company, the Golden Hippo, and we studied the freeze-drying process. And I thought, well, we're processing food, it can't be as good. And boy, was I wrong. Because when you study freeze-drying, and I was looking at studies on the antioxidant levels of blueberries, and when it's ripe on the plant and it goes into the store, the antioxidant level is the highest. But as it sits there before it's purchased and eaten, it goes down and down and down. But if you freeze dry the blueberry at the point of the highest peak nutrition, that antioxidant level stays constant for a long time. So we looked at the freeze drying process and we developed a food that is 81 to 82% meat and especially organ meats. And even though there are a lot of good freeze-dried foods on the market, any kind of processing usually destroys enzymes, vitamins, and minerals, especially heating. And in order to make AFCO regulations, which is the advisory board under the FDA, it needs all of these minerals. So you look at the ingredient list on all foods, and you'll see that these things have been added back in. Selenium sulfide, thiamine mononitrate, vitamin D, ergosterol, all this stuff is added back in. Unfortunately, most of that stuff added back in is synthetic. Synthetic vitamins and minerals are not healthy. They act like chemicals. We were able to create a food that meets AFCO requirements and regulations with food. So every single ingredient that would normally be listed, you won't see any of that. You'll just see different foods because the developing scientists for this company are just geniuses. So we developed this food, freeze drying, decreases weight. It keeps the highest nutritive value. It keeps the flavor incredible, but it also takes out water. Because one of the things that destroys so many of the good pet food companies out there is they find a pathogen and they do a recall to shut the company down. When you take water out, pathogens need water to grow on. So you decrease the chance of pathogen contamination 99.5%. So it was just so many slices of cake and eat it too. And that was the advent of our food. But the most important thing about the food that I helped create is the zillions of testimonials that I've already gotten in the last 6 years on not only how well dogs and cats have gotten on it or are doing on it, but how much they love it. Even if they're anorectic or finicky, they die for this food. So it's just, it made me so happy.
That's beautiful. I know a friend of mine put his cat on it at my suggestion, and his cat was happier, more energy, loved the food, and was doing great. So that was a really good sign. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we put together a whole bunch of supplements called nutraceuticals.
Yeah. Tell us about the supplements that you recommend for our pets to keep them healthy.
When I graduated vet school, there was one supplement for animals in the United States, pet tabs. It's still in existence.
Oh, my God.
Do you know how many supplements for animals are? I ran into you at the Global Pet Show. How many booths are there for supplements?
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And
but they're not all created equal.
It's also dangerous because it leads to a mass of confusion, especially with the internet. So
yeah. And they're not all created equal, you know, not every CoQ10 is created equal. Not every, any supplement is created equal. So
the advantage of my supplements is they're based on 50 years of experience working with my associates on over literally 200,000 animals and turning so many of them around. So even a healthy animal, people say, well, my dog is very young, very healthy, is on a great diet. Do we need supplements? My definition of a supplement is a concentrated food source that makes up for the deficiencies that we've put on them and created in the food chain over generations and generations. So even healthy animals, I'm very healthy. I take at least 6-8 supplements a day to stay healthy, period.
Also, the toxicity level today in the environment, the water we drink, the food we eat, the air we breathe, the grass they walk on, there needs to be some mitigation of that too, some oxidative stress, you know, offloading. So supplements can help there too.
Will, I can.
Will help, yes, exactly. Okay, let's talk about your documentary.
Oh, God.
Documentary filmmaker Cindy Meehl, is it Meehl or Male?
Meehl.
Meehl.
M-E-E-H-L.
M-E-E-H-L, exactly. Decided to make a documentary on you. She spent nearly 3 years filming the ins and outs of your work at Smith Ridge. And tell us how this came about and what's the key takeaway for pet parents to know about this documentary? Not only that they should watch it, because it really should be a prerequisite for all pet parents. It's incredibly enlightening, educational. But tell us how it came about and what a key takeaway is.
Well, 30 years ago, Cindy, her dog Coco, a Shar Pei, was terminally ill and was recommended euthanasia. She was in a pet store crying. And the owner of the store came up to her, and said, what's going on? I have to put my dog to sleep. And she goes, have you called Marty Goldstein? And she goes, who's Marty Goldstein? So she called my office on a Friday. And I was so busy. I was a single practitioner. And I called her back Friday evening at 11 o'clock at night. And in her mind, she goes, what doctor calls you, especially if you're not even a patient, at 11 o'clock Friday night? So she told me what was wrong with her dog. And this was persistent high fevers, 106, 107, wow. Cortisone antibiotics. The fever would come back. And then, you know, Coco started to die. And I said the magic words to her. I said, Cindy, don't you realize that Coco's body is trying to do something? Coco's immune system is trying to do something. And you keep on stopping it with the drugs?
Yeah.
And she said that was a light bulb that went off. So she brought Coco in. We stopped all the drugs, went on supplements, proper diet. Coco became a puppy and lived for years. So Cindy became my client.
Love it.
She became one of my best friends. Then she becomes a filmmaker out of boredom, I think, and goes around and films the original horse whisperer, Buck Brannaman, who was the one that Robert Redford hired to do the movie, The Horse Whisperer.
Wow.
And she, an amateur filmmaker, she does this documentary. It makes the shortlist for the Academy Awards. You must watch this film. So she's done with that. She goes, you're next. You want to do a documentary? What am I going to do, say no? So it was a very, very, very stressful time in my life, maybe the most. She came in for 3 years, and it was even more stressful because people coming in from all over the United States, the last thing they want to do is see lights and camera people when their dog or cat is dying. And the other thing is I became known for presenting my very, very successful cases documented over the years. She didn't use any of those cases. She would start with a new case and follow it all the way through. And a lot of these cases are coming terminal and they're not going to make it. So she never really captured the cases I really became known for. But what she and the editor did in this documentary, they filmed over 300 hours. They created an hour and 41 minute film. It's just a trip. And probably one of the biggest joys is we were winning awards all over the United States.
I know.
It premiered in New York City And it was scheduled for 3 theaters in Hollywood the next week.
You were selected for film festivals all over the world. I know.
And it was accepted by the Academy. And the day after it featured in New York City, all the theaters were shut down for COVID and it got buried.
Yeah, it's just a heartbreak.
But one of the joys for me is every time I showed up for a screening at a festival and a conventional veterinarian or several showed up, every single one of the veterinarians gave me a thumbs up, because this is not alternative therapy. This shows the need for pure, true integrative medicine in our society, for our society and the profession. And that's the biggest joy, is it shows real conventional medicine being done and the addition of alternative therapies or holistic medicine, or what we call now complementary or integrative medicine. And it's a must watch for anybody who loves animals and for veterinarians.
Yeah, absolutely.
Period.
Agree. Absolutely agree. Is there anything you want to add about your books or anything that's coming up for you before we move on? Because I'd like to kind of leave with a story.
Well, probably one of the big joys is that the company that's behind me, they were very big in the human field. 25 product lines, very successful company, the highest level of customer care, of quality, of formulation. And we became so successful with me starting an animal line that they recently, and I was there 2 weeks ago, they built me, and they have two other animal lines, a manufacturing plant in Wisconsin. It's 172,000 square feet.
Wow.
They make 5,000 pounds of the highest quality food every hour, and they work 24/7.
Oh, my
so
God.
We've taken it to a level where I'm going to now reach millions and millions with this work that I struggled for
decades,
4 years to reach dozens.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest takeaway.
It is the most beautiful thing. Yeah, scaling your good work. So I want to tell a little story about one of your successes. There have been so many. I actually would love for you to tell one, but let me just read something from an LA Times article on you from back in 1996. I found this part of the piece so charming. And I remember how I too like raised my eyebrows when you did this with India. So here we go. And I quote, "With the client busy reading," because Dr. Marty would have all of these like empowering sayings and stuff in his waiting room. "With the client busy reading, Goldstein turns to the dog lying despondently on the table and cuffs him one under the chin. The owner is horrified. What is he doing? Is he crazy? But by now it's too late. The tail's starting to twitch. Dr. Marty goes into his shtick, talking silly, rubbing the muzzle, giving the dog a few noogies on the head. The tail wagging intensifies. Thump, thump, thump. It's been ages since anyone did this. Since the diagnosis, it's been all doom and gloom. The dog grins. The owner does too. The hopelessness starts to fade. Goldstein's tone turns triumphant. Look at that spirit. We have a lot to work with here," end quote. And that's how I remember you, Dr. Marty.
That's
it. Very quirky, entertaining, and the very talented, courageous, integrative vet. A very rare breed indeed, especially back then. So,
I mean, animals and children, it's always the spirit of play.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the human race has lost that, especially as they get older. And it gets imparted onto our animals. And, you know, my second book is called The Spirit of Animal Healing. It takes it to a higher level. And we talk about the animal spirit. And like they say, mind over matter, you know, we're only, the human race is, you know, quoted to be 10 to 15% conscious of its environment. How many radio waves or ultraviolet waves are hitting your body right now that you're not aware of. There are over 50 perceptions in the physical universe. We have five. Animals, it is known, they have perceptions we don't have. They know when a storm's coming, they know when a tsunami is coming, when a hurricane's coming. They have all these perceptions. It's in that book, The Spirit of Animal Healing. And when you, as a human, approach them with hopelessness of cancer and stuff, it just brings them down. You want to wake up that spirit because it can heal better than any supplement in the world.
Absolutely.
And it was funny. You said, if I wanted to share a story, the story I thought about sharing actually is the one that I put into my presentations to the veterinary colleges. It's a dear friend. He was a total stranger. He adopts a pit bull with his ex-wife tied to a tree in Brooklyn. He didn't like dogs. They get a divorce. He keeps this dog, and the dog becomes his life. This dog develops squamous cell carcinoma of the tonsil that spread to the lymph node. That is the exact cancer that killed the actor, Sammy Davis Jr. So the leading oncologist in the United States, who the drug companies hire to create chemotherapeutics, gives this dog 6 weeks up to 3 months to live, even with chemotherapy. He comes to me, and for 35 minutes, I'm talking to him. I'm showing before and after pictures, this and that. Not once does he look up at me. I finally look at him and go, God, you're a waste of a human being. What are you doing here? It was so frustrating dealing with this guy. And he goes, he looks up and he goes, the only reason I'm here is my girlfriend found you online. And if I didn't come here, she'd kill me. And I said, you are a true waste. And I went in on him and he started to stare at me and a tear rolled down his eyes. And I have this all on film. And he goes, you know, for 35 minutes, I brought my dog here and you haven't even looked at my dog yet. And I said, I can't work on your dog until I extract the hopelessness from your existence, or we'll never get to her. And he goes, those are the words I need to hear. So check this out. This dog, we got quadruple confirmation. We have four different biopsies over a 7 month period, and this dog lives 9.5 more years, given 6 weeks to 3 months to live by the number one oncologist. And it's all documented in blood samples, biopsies, films, and photographs. And this is the case I present to Cornell University, to LSU, to Angel Memorial, saying, you can't do this, but alternative therapy can and hope can. Time to wake up. And the lady veterinarians in the audience start to cry.
Yeah.
Tears coming down.
You got
eyes.
Me teary.
Yeah. So that's the case that her name is Elsa, and his brother's a filmographer and is creating a documentary on the dog.
Oh, I love it. Beautiful. Dr. Marty, where can people find you? Social media and obviously Dr. Marty's Pets. All you have to do is look up Dr. Marty's Pets and you can buy the food, right?
Well, Dr. Marty Pets is now our avenue for a huge amount of education.
Beautiful.
So I would go there. DogDocTheFilm.com is where you'll find all the information about the documentary. But Dog Doc Facebook, you'll actually see my half-hour presentation at Cornell that went into the documentary, cleaned up, edited on Dog Doc Facebook. And
cool.
I'm having a lot of veterinarians watch that, just that half-hour feature on the Dog Doc Facebook site.
I love that because we can't have enough conventional veterinarians learn and do something about becoming more integrative, because we work best when we work together. You know,
exactly.
Sometimes we need conventional medications, even if it's just to transition as a bridge until the dog gets stabilized. But when we work together, we work best. So I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, probably the last thing that's really important to put out there is that anyone listening to this, I don't care where you live, if you go on the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, which is AHVMA.org, you'll see a listing of all the integrative veterinarians in North America, the city they're in, the state they're in, and the modalities they practice. And, you know, thankfully, they're all over the place now. So if your veterinarian doesn't embrace integrative medicine, time to find another vet, period.
I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Marty, for being here today.
Whenever you need me, just call.
Thank you so much and continued success. I'm so thrilled for you.
No, thanks.
You're welcome. And thank you all for listening. As a pet health coach, my mission is to share holistic healing options for pets and their parents seeking a natural approach to wellness. So tune in next time for information, expert interviews, and tips to give the animals we love the longest and most vibrant life we can. I'm Jody L. Teich, and this is The Pet Health Coach.
Let's talk pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.